This is the BBC Home Service. Thank you. We now come to the radio show entirely dedicated to the downfall of John Snack.
He, of course, refers to the highly esteemed Goon Show. Later. But now to business. Mr. Greenslade, come over here.
Yes, master?
Tell the waiting world what we have for them.
My lords, ladies, and other national assistance holders, tonight the League of Burmese Trombonists present a bestseller play entitled...
The Terror of Bexhill-on-Sea, or The Dreaded Batter Pudding Hurler.
The English Channel, 1941. Across the silent strip of green-gray water, in England, coastal towns were deserted, except for people. Despite the threat of invasion and the stringent blackout rules, elderly gentlefolk of Bexhill-on-Sea still took their evening constitutions.
It's quite windy on these cliffs, Minnie.
Yes, yes. What a nice summer evening. A typical English evening.
Yes, the rain is lovely and warm. Minnie?
Yes?
I think I'll take one of my sou'westers off.
You devil, you.
Here, Minnie, hold my elephant gun.
Oh, dear. I don't know what you brought it for. You can't shoot elephants in England, you know.
Why not?
They're out of season.
Oh. Does this mean we shall have to have pelican for dinner again?
I fear so. Oh. I fear so.
Then I'll risk it. I'll shoot an elephant out of season.
You can't shoot an elephant out of season. Elephants mustn't be hurt.
Listeners who are listening will, of course, realize that Minnie and Henry are talking rubbish. As erudite people will realize, there are no elephants in Sussex. They're only found in Kent. North of a line drawn between two points, thus making it the shortest distance.
Thank you.
Well,
if that's how it is, I can't shoot any.
Come, Henry. We'd better be getting home. I don't want to be caught on the beaches if there's an invasion.
Neither do I, Minnie. I'm wearing a dirty shirt and I don't... Minnie?
Yes.
But. Minnie, did you hear a gas oven door slam just then?
Don't be silly, Henry. We'd be walking around these cliffs with a gas oven.
Lady Docker?
Yes, but apart from the obvious ones, who'd want to...
No, I've never heard of him.
Help, Henry. I've been struck down from behind, buddy. Help.
Oh, dear, dear. Poor Minnie.
Help.
Police. English police. Law guardians.
Not too loud, Henry. They'll hear you.
Police of the law.
Can I help you, sir?
Are you a policeman?
No, I'm a constable.
Oh. What is the difference?
Well, they're spelt differently.
Help me, differently spelt constable.
Oh, what's happened to this dear old silver-bearded lady?
She was struck down from behind.
And not a moment too soon. Congratulations, sir.
I didn't do it.
Coward, hand back your OBE. Now, tell me, who did this felonious deed? What's happened to her?
It is much too dark to see. Yes. Strike a light.
Not allowed in blackout.
Strike a dark light.
No, madam. Madam, we don't. Why, only 28 miles across the channel, the Germans are watching this coast.
Don't you be a silly pilly policeman.
Bravo, Henry.
Bing. Bitter poo.
Bitter poo.
They can't see a little match being struck.
Oh, all right. Any questions?
Yes, where are my legs?
Where am I?
Now are you aware of the danger from German long-range guns?
I have it. I've got it. I've got the answer. Just by chance, I happen to have on me a box of German matches.
Wonderful! Strike one. They won't dare fire at their own matches.
Of course not. Now. Yes! The British!
We tried using a candle, but it wasn't very bright, and we didn't light it. So we waited for dawn, and there in the light of the morning sun, we saw what had struck Miss Bannister. It was a batter pudding.
It's still warm, Minnie. Oh,
thank heaven. I hate cold batter pudding.
Come, dear little Minnie. I'll take you home with me, Minnie. I'll give you a hot bath. Rub you down with the anti-vapor rub, put a plaster on your back, give your little feet a mustard bath, and then put you to bed.
Do you know this woman?
Devilish man!
Naughty man!
Naughty, naughty, horrible, naughty man! Of course I do. This is Minnie Bannister, the world-famous poker player. Give her a good poker and she'll play any tune you like.
Well, get it off this cliff. It's dangerous. Meantime, I must report this to the inspector. I'll call on you later. Goodbye. As I swam ashore, I dried myself to save time. That night, I lay awake in my air-conditioned dustbin thinking. Now, who on earth would want to strike another with a bap of pudding? Obviously, it wouldn't happen again. So I fell asleep. Nothing much happened that night, except that I was struck with a batter pudding.
It's all rather confusing, really.
In the months to come, 38 batter puddings were hurled at Miss Bannister. A madman was at large. Scotland Yard was called in.
Inspector Seagorn?
Yes?
My name is Hercules Gritpipe Thin, Special Investigation. This batter pudding, Hurler.
Yes?
He's made a fool of the police.
I disagree. We were fools long before he came along.
You silly, twisted boy. Nevertheless, he's got to be stopped. Now, Seagorn.
Yes, 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 yes.
Please, don't do that. Now, these batter puddings, they were obviously thrown by hand.
Not necessarily. Some people are pretty clever with their feet.
For instance?
Tom Cringingnut.
Who's he?
He's a man who's pretty clever with his feet.
What's his name?
Jim Flatcrock.
Sergeant Throat?
Yes.
Make a note of that.
Right, anything else, sir?
Yes. Right. Now, Seagorn, these batter puddings, were they all identical?
All except the last one. Inside it, we found this.
What? An army boot? So the dreaded Hurler is a military man. Any troops in the town?
The 56th Heavy Underwater Artillery.
Get there at once. Arrest the first soldier you see wearing one boot.
Ying Tong, it'll lie ho.
Right, off you go.
How dare you come here to my HQ with such a ridiculous...
I tell you, Major Bloodlock, I must ask you to parade your men.
Why?
I'm looking for a criminal.
You find your own. It took me years to get this lot. Oh. Oh. I surrender the army.
Ying Tong, Idle Po.
Very well, then. Bugle and Axe Gallery, sound fall in the hard way. Lads, my dear, lovely, hairy lads, I'm sorry I had to get you out of bed in the middle of the day, but I'll see you get extra pay for this, I promise you. That's what I like, spirit. Now, Sigun, which is the man?
I walked along the serried ranks looking for the soldier with one boot, but my luck was out. The entire regiment were barefooted, all save the officers who wore reinforced concrete socks.
I say, Sigun, it's getting dark. You can't see in this light.
I'll strike a match. Curse, I forgot about the Germans.
We want our Birdie Boys.
Who are you?
Me? I'm Lance Private Eccles, but most people call me by my nickname.
What's that?
Nick. That's a joke. I made a joke about the Nick.
I inspected the man closely. He was the nearest thing I'd seen to a human being without actually being one.
I say, Seagull, you... Surely you don't suspect this man. Why, we were together in the same company during that terrible disaster.
What company was that?
Desert Song, 1933.
Were you both in the doily cart?
Right in the doily cart.
I don't wish to know that.
AC.
But wait! At last, by the light of a passing glue factory, I saw that Eccles was only wearing... one boot.
Oh. Well, I only got one boot.
I know. But why are you wearing it on your head?
Why? Why? It fits, that's why. What a silly question to
ask. Let me see that boot. Size 19. What size head have you got?
Size 19.
Curse. The man's defense was perfect.
Oh.
Major Bradlock?
How dare you call me Major Bradlock?
That's your name.
In that case, I forgive you.
Where's this man's other boot?
Stolen.
By whom?
A thief.
You sure it wasn't a pickpocket?
Positive. Eccles never keeps his boots in his pocket.
Damn. They all had a watertight... They all had a watertight alibi. But just to make sure, I left it at a fish tank overnight. Next morning, my breast pocket phone rang. Hello?
Mr. Seacom, Minnie's been hit with another bag of pudding.
Well, that's nothing new.
It is. This one was stone cold.
Cold?
Yes. He must be losing interest in her.
It proves also that the phantom batter pudding hurler has had his gas pipe cut off. Taxi!
Yes, sir. Hooray for old Britannia, poor old Marilyn Monroe, poor old Joe.
The Bexhill gas works and step on it.
Very good, sir. Hooray, here we go.
Listeners may be puzzled by a taxi sounding like bagpipes. The truth is, it is all part of the BBC New Economy campaign. They have discovered that it is cheaper to travel by bagpipes. And not only are they more musical, but they come in a wide variety of colors. See your local bagpipe officer and ask for particulars. You won't be disappointed.
It's all rather confusing, really.
Meantime, Neddy Seagoon had arrived at the Bexhill Gas and Coke Works.
Blimey. Anyone about?
Yes, anyone want to talk to you?
Good.
Yeah.
I'd like a list of people who haven't paid their gas bills.
You don't have a lot of moment.
Thank you. Yeah. Now, here's a good list. I'll try this number. I think we've got him this time. Hello?
10 Downing Street, yeah?
I'm terribly sorry. No, it couldn't be him. Who would he want to throw a batter pudding at? Hello, police car?
This is Mr. Attlee. Someone's just thrown a batter pudding at me.
Months went by. I couldn't stop them. Still no sign of the dreaded hurler. Finally, I walked the streets of Bexhill at night, disguised as a human man. Then, suddenly... Nothing happened. But it happened suddenly, mark you. Disappointed, I lit my pipe. Curse those Germans.
Oh, pardon me, my friend.
I turned to see the speaker. He was a tall man wearing sensible feet and a head to match. He was dressed in the full white outfit of a Savoy chef. Around his waist were tied several thousand cooking instruments, and behind him he pulled a portable gas stove from which issued forth the smell of batter pudding.
Could I borrow a match? You see, my gas has gone out and my batter pudding was just about to start browning.
Certainly. Here. No. Keep the whole box. I have another match at home.
So rich. Well, thank you, monsieur. You have saved my batter pudding from getting cold. As you will agree, there's nothing quite so bad as being struck down with a cold batter pudding.
Oh, yes?
Of course. Well, good night, monsieur.
Good night. I watched the strange man as he pulled his gas stove away into the darkness. But I couldn't waste time watching him. My job was to find the dreaded batter pudding hurler.
Those listeners who think that Seagoon is not cut out to be a detective, please write to him care of Rowton House.
On December the 25th, the hurler changed his tactics. That day, Miss Bannister was struck with a Christmas pudding. Naturally, I searched the workhouse.
Seagoon, the hurler is abroad.
What's that, sir?
Miss Bannister has just received this letter. It was postmarked Africa. And inside was a portion of batter pudding.
Yes, he hasn't forgotten me, buddy.
So he's in Africa. Now we've got him cornered. I must leave at once. Where is my power-packed giant assistant? Blue Bottle!
Yay!
I heard you call me my captain. I heard my captain call me. Wait for audience applause, not a sausage. Puts on I don't care expression as done by Nairin Bevan at Blackpool Conservative Rally.
Bluebottle, you and I are going to Africa.
Goody, goody. Can we take sandwiches?
Only for food. Any questions?
No.
I can't answer that, can you?
No.
Ignorant swine. Got that down, Sergeant's throat?
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Right, we catch the very next troop convoy to Algiers. And who better to drive us out of the country than Ray Ellington and his quartet?
He must know something, but don't say nothing. He keeps on rolling, keeps on rolling along. He don't plant taters, he don't plant cotton, and them that plants them is soon forgotten. But old man River keeps on rolling along. You and me, we sweat and strain, body or leg in a rack with pain. Took that barge, lift that bale, gets a little drunk and you lands in jail. And he's weary and sick of trying, tired of living and feared of dying. But old man River keeps rolling along. Something, but don't say nothing. He keeps on rolling, keeps on rolling along. He don't plant taters and he don't plant cotton. And them that plants him is soon forgotten. But old man River, he keeps rolling along. Yes, you and me, we sweat and strain. Body all aching, rats with pain. Took that barge, lift that bale. You get a little drunk and you land in jail. It's weary and sick of trying, tired of living and feared of dying. But old man River keeps rolling along, rolling away, Beck's Hill way. That old man River, he keeps rolling along.
Seagoon and Bluebottle traveled by sea. To avoid detection by enemy U-boats, they spoke German throughout the voyage, heavily disguised as Spaniards.
As an added precaution, they traveled on separate decks and wore separate shoes on different occasions.
The ship was disguised as a train. To make the train seaworthy, it was done up to look like a boat and painted to appear like a tram.
All rather confusing, really.
Also on board were Major Budnock and his regiment. When we were 10 miles from Algiers, we heard a dreaded cry.
Mine ahead! Ooh, ooh. Dirty big mine ahead!
I say, what's happening here? Why are all these naughty men cowering down on the deck, the cowards?
There's a mine ahead.
Mine?
Funny, he wasn't dressed for swimming.
Oh, here. There's no need to worry, fellas, about the mine. It's one of ours.
Oh.
Ludnock and I floundered in the cruel sea.
Fortunately, we found a passing lifeboat and dragged ourselves aboard.
We had no oars, but luckily we found two outboard motors and we rowed with them.
Brilliant.
For 30 days we drifted to and fro. Then hunger came upon us.
Oh, if I don't eat soon, I'll die of hunger. And if I die, I won't eat soon. Wait a moment. Can I smell cooking, or do my ears deceive me?
He was right. Something was cooking. There in the other end of the lifeboat was a gas stove. Could this be the end of our search?
I'll knock on the oven door.
Just a minute, please. I'm in the bath.
Good morning. You?
Yes. Remember Beck's Hill? I lent you the matches.
We don't want them back.
Then move. I arrest you as the dreaded batter pudding hurler.
Sacre bleu.
Hands up, you devil. Don't move. This finger is loaded.
If you kill me, I promise you, you'll never take me alive.
Beck, how can we prove he's the hurler?
That batter pudding in the corner of the stove is all the evidence we need. We've got him.
But it wasn't so easy. 40 days they drifted in an open boat.
Oh, I tell you, Sigun, let's eat the batter pudding or we'll starve.
No. You hear me? No. That's the only evidence we've got. Though I must admit this hunger does give one an appetite.
We must eat it or die.
Never.
Very well, then. I shall stop playing my violin.
And that, we fear, is the end of our story, except, of course, for the end. We invite listeners to submit what they think should be the classic ending. Should Sigun eat the batter pudding and live, or leave it and, in the cause of justice, die? Send your suggestions on a piece of batter pudding. Meantime, for those of you cretins who would like a happy ending, here it is.
Darling, darling, will you marry me?
Of course I will, darling.
Thank you. Good night.
That was The Goon Show, a recorded program featuring Peter Sellers, Harry Secombe, and Spike Milligan, with the Railington Quartet and Max Geldray. The orchestra was conducted by Wally Stott, script by Spike Milligan, announcer Wallace Greenslade, the program produced by Peter Eaton.